mention that we're going into Shredder 7 tonight, tomorrow. When the Eden arrived, that's at Har Sinai. Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ahor Ki Isha Achad B'Lev Achad. And then begins the Hachonis to Matan Torah. So I thought, as I've been doing in the previous shiurim, to do somewhat of a compendium of the Maimorim of Chassidus, looking at Matan Torah through the lens of Chassidus. So of course, Matan Torah is the whole sugya in the Gemara, Masechta Shabbos, as well as other places, and of course, a watershed moment in history. Can consider it the greatest event in history, actually. Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. For the first time, the Eibishter gave us his mandate, his blueprint, the Torah. So though Kaima Kol HaOvos, the Ovis kept and learned the Torah even before it was given, but clearly the giving of Torah, Matan Torah, was not before. They, so to speak, had a an appetizer or a taste of it. And there's Sfarim, entire Sfarim, that talk about what exactly is the Chiddush of Matan Torah. Pinigla, the concept of Mitzuva Ve'esa, in contrast to Mitzuva Ve'ina'esa, that the Ovis and before Matan Torah, whatever they did, was not, besides Bris Milah, was not a Tzivui. Another explanation is to explain the difference between the two. And but everybody agrees that it's a dramatic difference. Ad kedei kach, that the Eden had to go through a geirus, a total geirus. Hilchus geirus today is all based, mostly based on what happened by Matan Torah. That they had to literally go through a conversion, which tells you what kind of shift that was. In other words, the concept of what we call today a Yisrael didn't exist before Matan Torah. We know Avram Yitzchak Yankiv, Yaakov is called Yisroel. So this Svarim on this is a Sefer, Parashas Drachim, or sometimes called Derech Mitzvasecha, a Nigla Sefer. The Rebbe brings it off in big Arichas on this with many different explanations. But the Geder was of the Ovis, Apitera, there's Rabbi Yosef Engel talks about it, and many others. But the kids said, everybody agrees that it's not the same Geder, because then they wouldn't have to go through a Geder. And the Geder meant Kabbalah's Torah Mitzvahs and Bris and Mikveh and all that comes with it, which is one of the reasons we eat Milchiks on Shavuos, because of the Kelim had to be the Shleshet Kelim, etc., etc. So clearly that's very transformative. They talk about Geder, Kegeshen is Geir, Kekot and Shanela Dami, so the Eden became a nation. Of course, there's a whole discussion as well. So what was the Geder of Goyim before? If there was no real Geder of Yisrael, Pi Alocha, so what was a Goy? So in the concept of the Havdim Yisrael La'amim and Hatav Chatonu is Takavonu Vachat, is all about Matan Torah. It says Beferish that in Shulchan Aruch and many other places. So all that is part of an understanding of the Chiddush of Matan Torah. But as always, Pnimis HaTorah illuminates not just the Pnimiyus HaEnyonim and the Ruchnius HaEnyonim and the Seidus HaEnyonim and what happens, the Elamus HaEnyonim, but also when you go through Chassidus, you see a whole different way of understanding it. So what it does is it gives a whole deeper appreciation of these Chidushim that I just mentioned, and I didn't even mention them all. So there is the Geder, even in Nigla, that they talk about that before Matan Torah, you could not take the Gashmizdika world and make it a Chefzer Shul Gdusha. Rav Chaim talks about it, Rav Chaim Brisker and others, because there's also Raya's from that as well. The famous Raya, of course, Simna Yadcha Tachas Yerechi, that Avram said to Al-Ozer, which was the Chere Inyan of Hepachatznias. He couldn't find any other Nikitas Chefetz, because there was no other chefetz that had kedusha in it except the bris, because that was only mitzvah ve'es. All other things, even though Avram did plenty of mitzvahs and good deeds, but it did not change, did not create a chefetz of kedusha. You know, something that we call hegdish, something that's holy, a gashmis, the good thing that retains kedusha, not that being done kedusha through it. So there is that, of course, discussed in Nigla. But still, as I said, the more you learn the Pnimius HaTeira, the whole thing comes into a whole other dimension. There's also a big question that has to be asked. We know that the whole world was created B'reishis, B'shvil HaTeira, B'shvil Yisrael, Beis Reishis, and many different Ma'amar Chazal, that Imlei Brisi, if they did not accept Matan Teira, that's why it says Matan Teira was, which says that was the Elam Shakota, that it was Yem HaShishi, because the Eibishter made a Tanai, Hitna, he made a Tanai, that when he created the world, it's Al Tanai that the Yidin would be Mekabel Teira. And if they would not be Mekabel Chas B'Shalom, it says the whole world would go L'Seyu Uvayu, would be destroyed, because that was not fulfilling its purpose. But it says, Eretz Yorah V'Shakota, that Eretz Yorah, first the world trembled, because it didn't know whether it would be ratified, so to speak. But then when it came, Yem HaShishi, HaShishi, it says, V'Shakota, the world came to a peaceful place because it was settled. The Yidden were Mekabel the Teira. So of course then comes the big klotzkash. If that's the case, and we learn right in Rashi in the Midrashim beginning Bereshit, so why was Matan Teira not in the beginning of creation? Why did it take 26 generations? So even though you have Kaima Kol HaTeira, Kedem Shenitna, but the Matan Teira as we know it, 26 generations, 2,448 years to be exact, from Bria Se'elam. So that needs, of course, explanation. And then there's the Sugyan Shabbos that I mentioned, the Gemara, where he talks about, where you see also the dramatic shift, because when the Moshe was on Har Sinai, Shemayim, and the Malachim heard that he's going to receive the Torah, so they made a big tumult. Tnei Heitchu B'Shemayim, Chem D'Gnuza, why are you giving Torah to the inferior human beings? Give it to us, the Malachim. And the Eibishter tells Moshe to answer the question, and Moshe trembles and tells him to hold on to his to the Kisei HaKovid. And ultimately, Moshe looks into the Teda like a good lawyer and says, what does it say? Anechi Hashem Elokecha asher yitzisichem eretz Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim yiradetam. You, the Malachim, ever in Mitzrayim. Kabed esavicha. Do you have a father? A mother? Kabed esavicha v'simecha. Leisignev, and so on. All these different statements. Do you have any of these temptations? So clearly the Teda leba shamayim hi. Teda is given down lamata. So you see from that again, what was the Malachim? What was bothering the Malachim? Why didn't they have tainas till then? Because before Matan Teira, the Teira still was not really given below. The fact that the Ovis and others learned Teira was not yet their Matan Teira. It wasn't the Teira Tzivalonu Meisha Merosha, Kehilis Yaakov, Ar Yerusha, Ar, the Teira given Lamata Tachtena. So the answer overall to the whole picture, there's a lot of points to talk about. I'll just talk about a few key ones. But sometimes it's good to begin from the beginning. That's why I ask these questions. I want to talk about really two points. The first point is how Chassidus explains what changed and why Dafke 26 generations later. And the second point, how it affects us today in so many different ways. Mamish till this very day. And the sources of what I'm saying is from the Mamorim, of course, starting from Tereir, Yisrei, there's Mamorim on the Inyan of Matan Teira, and as well as from all the Rabbeim, actually, and as well as many of the Rebbe Sichas. Matan Teira is one of the big sugyas in the Rebbe Sichas. Every year, Shavuos, the Rebbe would talk about it, Barichas, different points and different chidushim and different angles. One sikha that stands out among many, they're all, obviously, all Yisraelizdik, is the Tov Shalamed Hei Shavuos sikha, already printed in Chelik Tazayin, Yisrei sikha, about the Gemara, about Yesi, Kame Yesi Ike Beshuke, Ilav Hayyem de Kagorim, Kame Yesi Ike Beshuke, said Rabbi Yesi. And the Rebbe explains this Gemara, what does he mean by that? And the essence of the kud of all these Maimorim is based on the Medrash, the famous Medrash, where the Medrash gives a moshel with Bnei Surya and Bnei Remi. Right, Surya and Remi, which is interesting. Surya is Syria and Remi is Rome, like basically Muslims and Christians. That's the moshel. What is the moshel is? That says before Matan Teira there was a Gzeira. Gzeira tarte mashma, a decree, expressed like a gzeira, but also gzeira is like a split, gzeira, like a schism, between alienim and tachtenim. Alienim le yorde lamata, tachtenim le yal lamayla. And the Medrash gives the example from Bnei Surya and Bnei Reimi that they agreed, they had a treaty that Bnei Surya wouldn't go up to Rome and Rome wouldn't go down to Surya. In other words, create a boundary to protect each of them. That's the Moshe. My Matan Torah, what changed? So Bitla Gzeira. Alienim yorde lamata, k'mishu kosav, v'yedet Hashem al ha-Sinai, v'techtenim yal lamayla, Moshe Allah, al Moshe Omar alei al ahar. So you have both Eibishter's Yerida, so to speak, and Moshe's Aliyah, and hence Shemayim and Oretz. So till then, in a sense, you could say Shemayim la Hashem, v'Oretz nit l'bnei Adam. There was a split. And afterwards, there was a connection, but it wasn't just a one-time thing. It was a one-time event, but forever after that, the Gzeira no longer exists. That today, since Matan Torah, the ability for Elyanim to change Tachtenim, and for Tachtenim to elevate to Elyanim. The Rebbe has an interesting note, a footnote, in Sefer Ma'amorim Tovshin Yud, Shavuos Maimer, I think, which was published after this, after Yud Shvat. He talks about the two points. That one is that Gashmis to become Ruchnis, and Ruchnis can enter into Gashmis. It's two Nekudas. But overall, it's a joining, a fusion of the two. That's a Chiddush of Matan Torah. Now, you look at a Medrash like this, you know, you could say nice Medrash, but if you think about it, it's a tremendously Yesedizdi, because now you have an understanding, you know, why Taka before was not Mitzvah Ve'esa, and why Taka the Ovis could not transform the physical world. Because that's a fundamental law and principle the Eibishter put into place, that Elyonim Tachtenim should not join. That's why it's called Elyon and Tachten. Atzilus is Atzilus and Asiya is Asiya. And there's a parsim between them. And even though there's Amshacha through the parsa, but it's still. And the most fundamental way of explaining it is the Tzimtzum HaRishon. Essentially, the Gzeira, the root of the Gzeira, is the Tzimtzum HaRishon. So the Eitz Chaim explains, why do you need a Tzimtzum HaRishon? Why do you need a Tzimtzum? So he says, because B'ifnei HaTzimtzum, B'tchilo, not in Zman, and conceptually, Eirein Sof HaYim Amala Kol HaMetziyas, V'loi HaYin Nesinus Mokin Le'elam Esklal. That's the Lashon. Think of it, the complete divine, seamless divine consciousness. There's no room for anything else. A teacher, using the famous Moshe of the Alter Rebbe, a teacher who's infinitely brilliant and he's teaching without any hakbolas, without any regulator, without any filters. There's no room for anyone to be there as a separate entity, be makabel, because it's like overwhelming. Think of like a tsunami, like an ocean that's just completely overriding and doesn't have the hakbola being yam li abosha, the havdola. So comes the Tzimtzum, says that Arizal, in Eitz Chaim and other places. The Tzimtzum is a concealment. Not a concealment, chas v'shalom, of the etzem. That's not shayich. It's not Tzimtzum kipshuti as well. But it's nevertheless a concealment. Like the teacher who has to withhold his brilliant seichel from flowing. So he is not changed by it. He's still the same teacher, the same brilliant scholar. But the makabel now, there's space for another entity, like he says, Mitzinus Mokum the Elamus. That was what the Chol Mokum Pane did. It created space. And then after that, Achaka Chozer Vihimshech Kav Achud Dak Vekotzer, a narrow flow, think of it like a laser beam, of, so to speak, as a teacher spoon feeds a student, Olive Beis, Bechomesh Lamikra, Benesel Lamishneh. So the Mekabel can slowly assimilate itself and acclimate to the Giluim. You try to teach a little child all the infinite brilliance of Ein Sof, it'll overwhelm the child. And so therefore we have to first allow the Kelim to grow and expand, and that's exactly what the Seder is in Chinuch and in Limud, all of us, until Ada Boyin Shnin Koi Inesha Daita Derav. 40 years later, or at age 40, different, the two different opinions. But point being is, why does it take 40 years? The seichel of the Rav is already there, but it's Behelim. And you need the keli to the Makabel to prepare himself to be mukshar. So that's the simple explanation of Tzimtzum. So if you think about it, that's the gzeira. That's the gzeira ben Elyanim v'tachtenim. Elyanim would be Eirei Sof Lifnei Tzimtzum. Tachtenim is everything afterwards. The whole Seder is Shtalshlus. In lower levels, the difference in Atzilus, just like there's Atzilus the Klolus, and Biyad the Klolus, there's also Atzilus the Protis, and Biyad the Protis. So it's the same thing as Atzilus, between Atzilus Bria, Yitzira, and Asiya. Elyanim and Tachtenim. Which explains, of course, the fundamental yisod of everything. The Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, Perek Lamed Vav, and the Sava Kodesh Baruch Hu Liyis Leis Baruch Dere B'Tachtenim. Tachtenim. How do you have Tachtenim if everything is Enei Mulvadei? So he explains, Tachtenim is not in Mokim, Tachtenim is in Gili. That the Gili becomes so diminished, Tachtenim Ach Ein Tach L'matma, there's no Gili Enei Sof in this world. It's completely concealed. To the point that it's a cheshir kofla mechupul, a molly klippus v'sitra achre, to the extent that you have the klippus saying, aniva afsiyed, mamish, an opposite reality. Literally opposite. One of the languages of some of the maimonim from the Rebbe Rashab, other places, before the tzimtzum elikus b'pshitas, and elim is b'schachas. What was a given was elikus. The elims, as we know them now, is a complete novelty. After the tzimtzum, it's elim is b'pshitas, like it is by us. As much as you may be completely filled with the bittel to enei mulvadei, you have to constantly remind yourself. The first thing we feel when we wake up in the morning, the first thing we feel is our own physical bodies, our hunger, we're tired. And we have to work on accessing ruchnius, let alone eirei sof. So it's elim is b'pshitas, and elikus is the thing that needs to be revealed. How is that possible if the truth is the opposite, that's all Enei Mavadi Elikus B'Pshitas? The answer is the Tzimtzum, the Gzeira. So the Gzeira, in a way, is another way of, the Gzeira in Med, Lashon HaMedrash, is essentially the Tzimtzum, a boundary between two different realities. Cholos Elyanim Tachtenim, you could say the boundary between Ruchnis and Gashmis, or what we call in English between energy and matter, or spirit and matter. And that's how the world was created. Bereshit is bara lakim, elakim loshen din v'tzimtzum, helem v'hester, and as the pasuk continues, v'eretz yisrael tohu v'vohu, v'cheshech al pnei atahem, v'ruach elakim merachefes al pnei amayim. So ruach elakim is now more merachefes, it's hovering, it's not begili mamish, it's b'cheshech. And then comes the Aveda, Ve'yemer Elikim, Yehi Oyer, Yehi Oyer. So Chassidus, the Magid, explains that Ve'yehi Oyer is the Kav. The Kav, after the Tzimtzum HaCheshach of Elikim, that created a Cheshach, a Helam, Hoder Bereshach HaShech, Ve'hoder Nehera, first comes Cheshach, Ve'yehi Erev, Ve'yehi Bekin. So you have first the Helam, and then you have the Ayat. And the same thing in our Aveda. We begin our lives in a dark state, and when we learn Teira Eir, and Ner Mitzvah, and Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, we begin illuminating this dark world of Tachtenim with Elikus. So in that sense, you can say that the first 26 generations from creation, really what dominated was the Gzeira. So even though Avram Hischil Lahoyer, after the 7 generations before, the 10 generations, 20 generations before him, was the Yeridus, like he speaks in Basil Gani from the Medrash and Shir Ashirim Rabbah, that after the Chet Eitz Hadas began the Istalkus HaShchina, Ika Shchina B'Tachtenim Heisa. But even Ika Shchina B'Tachtenim Heisa doesn't mean there was no Tzimtzum. It just means that even though there was a Tzimtzum before Chet Eitz Hadas, there was a Lekus L'mata. But it was still not Elyanim. Still a difference between Asiya and Yitzira and Bria and Atzilus. And then, of course, with the Chatoyim, the Histalkus Ashchina or the Helam Ashchina became more intense, 7 generations, 7 general stages, until Avram Avinu. And Avram Avinu began to reverse the process. So what was he doing, essentially? That though there's a Gzeira and a Helam between Elikus and Velt, so he began to reveal Elikus in the Velt. And wherever he went, he began to reveal Elikus. But then it took a few more generations. Then comes the next generation, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Today, Rashvi, comes Moshe Rabbeinu, and after taking the Eden out of Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, which is consummated with the Mishkan. And what happens here? The Chiddush that we talked before, the Bitl HaGzeira. Now, there's a Bitl HaGzeira to the point that you can push to take Tachtenim and make them into Elyenim, and Elyenim comes down the Mata and can permeate, and that Primis Dikaway Tachtenim, not Namakav Dikaway. And that's why it's followed by the Mishkan, because the Mishkan is essentially that consummation. What is the Mishkan? Vayichuli, Kesav, Zov, and Cheshas, Gashmiz Dika things. The Mishkan is not a Ruchniz Dika Aveda. It's Ruchniz, but it's Ruchniz through Gashmiz, taking a Gashmiz Dika world. Vayosli Migdosh, Vishachanti Besechom. Mamish expression. What was before the Mishkan or the Migdosh? You don't have Vishachanti Besechom, Besech Kolachodachod, the Primis. This all began with Matan Torah. Okay. So you also have, based on this, an explanation why it didn't happen right away. Because the point, of course, the Eibishter could have given the Torah right away, but that's not the Kavanah. The Kavanah is it should Durach Nehem and Tachtenim. The child, you can give him the Kol HaTorah Kula. Yeah, that would be a Nes. But you want it to be Lefi Gidrei HaTachtenim. You want it to be in the Kelim of Tachtenim. So that's why the first step is creating Elyonim and Tachtenim. And then slowly, step by step, the people in this world would come through their Aveda to come to appreciate Elyonim, Elikus, and slowly integrate it. That's why it says, Pinigla. In many Sforim, it says, the difference between before Matan Torah and after Matan Torah is like Chinuch and Bar Mitzvah. Tesva says that Matan Torah was like the Bar Mitzvah. But what's before Bar Mitzvah? Chinuch. Now we know Chinuch is still not a child before Bar Mitzvah. Bas Mitzvah is not Mechuyev Mitzvah. Ena Mitzvah Ve'esa. But you still train him and educate him, because you don't want him to suddenly fall and come a Bar Mitzvah, Bas Mitzvah, and doesn't know what to do. You need Chinuch. You need training. So in a sense, the comparison, therefore, to before Matan Torah would be the Chinuch of the world and the Chinuch of the first generation. So that's the beauty, if you think about it. Avraham Avinu, was he picked by Hashem, or did he pick Hashem? So you could argue the point, but when you read Avraham Avinu went on a search. So obviously he had a special neshama, and I'm sure he had keiches momayla, but the bottom line was a very difficult search. He grew up in a house of Aveda Zara, in a community of Evdei Aveda Zara, It didn't just come, he had a psal gilui momayla. He started working on it, Ben Shalish Shonim, Hikaris Bede, or Ben Esa Shonim, Ben Shleishim Shonim, all the different opinions that Rebbe explains is basically different levels of Hakaras Abeda. And it came a Matlamayli. He went out searching and he's looking. He realized that something created existence, Ein Dover Esa Satsme, something created this world. So first he looked up to heaven, sees the sun, the moon, the stars, and realizes that's also just an extension of the Bria. Until he comes to realize that's the exact opposite. That he has to let go and realize the Eibishter is everywhere. And then the process of Hashem responding, seeing that a man like Avram paid such a price and was Meisar Nefesh for this, and with the Nisyanus and everything, so Avram was Zeich. This is perfect example of Aveda Mamata Lamaila, of Chinuch. This is what the Eibishter wanted. He didn't want to give a Matan Torah Mamaila Lamata. That's not the Kavona. That would be like saying he'll create a tzimtzum, and then the Eibishter will send Hamshachas Ein Sof Alachra tzimtzum, and the kavanah is that it should come from Tachtenim. So that's why it took 26 generations that Tachtenim should become Mukhshir, should refine itself. You have to become a Keli. A Talmud has to become a Keli before the Rav is ready to be Megala bigger Giluyim, and that's what happened. So even though the Kavanah Sabriya was Matan Torah from day one, or even before day one, Machshavtan Shel Yisrael, Machshavtan Shel Torah, Kadmil Chol Dover, nevertheless, the Poel Mamish, it comes through the Aveda generation after generation. And of course, it culminates with the ultimate experience of Golos Mitzrayim, Yitzias Mitzrayim. So Chassidus explains, why is that necessary? They already worked hard, Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, the Oves, the Shvatim, Yosef suffered as well. So the answer is because it's like the Kur HaBazel Lashon HaKosuv. Mitzrayim was the ultimate Kesheyana Eisa Ken Yirbe V'Chen Yifritz, because it's one thing, the Aveda of all the Ovis, even though there was Nisyanus and challenges, but that the whole nation, meaning all the Bnei Avram, Yitzchak V'Yankov and Sarah Rivka Rachav Aleya, the ultimate price is when you really pay a heavy price. You really suffer. So though suffering is not the Kavona, but that's where the Eibishter by Bris Ben Apsarim already said they're going to be Le'eretz Shalei Lahem. They will have to go through so-called the ringer. You really want to know if somebody is Roya for something, they have to be ultimately tested. So essentially, it seems Mitzrayim was a bitter zichuch of the highest level, but it came with a tremendous amount of pain. So this is not a justification for pain, it's just explaining what happens when an individual or a group goes through a real challenge. And their emuna becomes stronger and they're ready. So once they came out of Mitzrayim, with all the suffering, this was now a whole new picture. You had people, not only who were makabel, the emuna and the meseda from Avram Yitzchak V'Yankiv, but they also paid a price for it, for being Jews. So even though technically you could say they were still not halachic Jews, but they were spiritually as Jews, because that's just like Avram Avinu. That's why we say Avram was the first Jew. You really have to qualify what that means. He's not the first halachic Jew, because the concept of halacha, and like I said, giyur only happens by Matan Torah. But if you talk about conceptually, the first conceptual Jew, the first pioneer of the ideology of Judaism and what would become formally by Matan Torah, Torah, mitzvahs, and so on, of course, Avram, Avos Heinena Merkava, which is why it's not a stira. People say, Avos Heinena Merkava, so someone once asked me, and then you say they're not even Yidden. You know, Pialocha, they, for example, Yaakov marrying two sisters, and there were other things they did before, because it was before Matan Torah. And then you say, Ovesen and Merkovis, that sounds like, I mean, they're the highest level of Bittl. Because it's not a stira. Ovesen and Merkovis is a Gavra thing. As a Gavra, they were the highest level. Complete Merkovah, 24-7. But did they change their physical bodies or physical world? That was not yet a koyach given for that. It's not a chson in them. It's not yet the time. Adarabe, in some ways, Eina Mitzuva Eisa, it says, sometimes is even stronger, because you don't have the Keiches Momayla. And still, the Ovis did what they did. After Matan Torah, you could say, we already have the Keiches. The Eibishter is giving us Torah and is giving us all those Keiches Elyonim. So they could say they pioneered and paved the way. Mamata Lamayla to the state of Mitzrayim and Golas Mitzrayim, Gulas Mitzrayim, the Gula for Mitzrayim, Tzis Mitzrayim, and ultimately leading us to Matan Torah. And Tzis Mitzrayim, literally Mitzorim v'Gvulim. They have again, Meitzer v'Gvul. That's like the Gzeda, the Gvul between Elyonim and Tachtenim. But in Mitzrayim was the worst possible Ervas Ha'aretz. It was a negative Meitzer v'Gvul. But still the same idea. But once you can get through Mitzrayim, and survive, and persevere, and preserve your amunah and your integrity, then a whole other story. And that prepared them 49 days, and then 50 days later to Matan Torah. So that's in a nutshell how Chassidus explains this whole process. As I said, what I'm saying here is probably not new to most of you, in general terms, but it just is a lot of details, especially before Matan Torah and after, how to understand the whole picture. So now what do we have? Matan Torah now, there's the Roi and the Son of Keli and the Eibishter Matan, Loshon Matona, Momayla Lamato, Vayered Hashem al Hasinai. And even that still needed to have a Keli, that's why they had 49 days of counting the Omer, to form a Birur Hamidus. And even after that, it says, until they came to Hasinai, Rosh Chodesh Sivan, they were still having conflicts. That's why it says, Vayichan Shem Yisrael Neged Ahar. And here, when they came before the Har, suddenly all the conflicts disappeared, because they were like, Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. Just Agav, the Rebbe explains with this, one of the reasons we say Dayenu. Even if we just came to Har Sinai, and you say Dayenu. So the obvious close kasha is, what do you mean? What's the point of coming to Har Sinai if you don't receive the Torah? So one of the explanations is because just coming to Har Sinai already created Kish Echad B'Lev Echad. It was already a tremendous gilui. Now obviously the objective is Matan Torah. So Matan Torah is this watershed moment, a historical moment, a shift happens. The ability now to transform the physical world, tachtenim, the language we used before, to achefza shel kedusha. Kami yesa ike b'shuka, because before Matan Torah, there's a lot of yesis. Shuka is referring to chayil. You go into the shuk, there's a lot of people, nice people, doing business. They could be ethical. But ilav hayayim edikagorim, if you don't have this tei of Matan Torah, you don't have the uniqueness. The uniqueness is the atav achartanu, to be able to come into this world and transform it. There shouldn't be just shuk anymore, as the Rebbe explains, to make from a shuk, from a shusarab, mar shusayachit, yechidah shel elam. To take alma de pruda, this world of tachtenim lashon rabim, with its pirud, and separation and divisiveness, and turn it into, through Torah, kol ha-Torah kulo le-nitne l'lasa shalom be'elam, to create shalom between alyenim and tachtenim, shalom between the Yetzer Tev and the Yetzer Hara, and all that's a tremendous chiddush. I remember once speaking about this. I was at a shavuos in a different city. I was there, the scholar in residence, so you have a whole first night of shavuos learning. And I'm to be a community of a lot of academics, scientists, and they were very intrigued by this. There was a few physicists, and one of them asked me and said to me, so can you explain in scientific terms what the chiddush of Matan Torah was? Now, I'm not per se a scientist. I mean, I've dabbled and read, so I can carry the topic, but I said that. I said, you know, you guys are the experts here. I can tell you what it says in Torah and chiddush, and you can translate it into scientific terms. But what came to me, and I've used it many times, so one of the biggest chiddushim in science, modern science, comes from a Jew. You all know his name, Albert Einstein. And Albert Einstein, maybe the most famous formula in science, all science, is E equals mc squared. Probably have heard this, right? Most people, even though it's a simple formula, it's not just as simple as it sounds. So E stands for energy. M stands for mass, for matter. And C stands for the speed of light, to the second power, mc squared. So his formula, his chiddush was that energy and matter, saying it in simple terms, even though you think they're two separate entities. You know, you see something, let's say, what we call a solid object, and energy is something more like electricity. Would you say electricity has something in common with this table? So initially you think not, it's two different states. But he proved time and again, not just with theory, proved it, that energy and matter are reversible. But to get energy to come from matter, you need to have a tremendous amount of power. And that's the speed of light, which again, I'm not going to go into right now in the details of that. But in simple terms, even though now it's a given, it was a major chiddush, and remains one, as I said, maybe the greatest formula of all formulas. It's really the basis of all technology today. Would you have ever dreamt of today? It's like common. You all have smartphones, or whatever phone you may have, or whatever technology you use. How is it possible that in a little object like this, how much data is in here? Pashut b'gashmis, how could it all fit into one little like wafer like this? Doesn't make sense. If you go back to computers in the time of, let's say, 1950s, the same amount of data would need computers probably three blocks, literally city blocks, machines and upon machines. How do you get so much into so little? So for us, we don't even ask the question anymore. It's become common. It's just all the time, you know. What's the big thing? You get on a phone, you suddenly can talk to someone in Australia, you could FaceTime, you could have images beaming thousands of miles in a split second. It seems to defy the laws of time and space. Time and space means that something that's here is not there, and something that's now is not tomorrow. There's past, present, and future. The answer is because even in that physical world where there's the separation, I'll call it the gzeira, between Aldeanim and Tachtenim, or the gzeira between Avar, the Heva and Asid, or between Mokim, is only Bechetzenius. That if you're able to tap into the deeper forces beneath the matter, you can release tremendous amount of energy, and that energy is literally almost infinite. So you can take one particle, a piece of dust, or a hair, a strand of hair, and if you're able to create a tremendous amount of heat or speed, what they call nuclear or atomic nuclear fission or fusion, which means you're either splitting the atoms that are within or you're joining them together, you can release energy that literally, Rahman al-Islam, can destroy the whole world like this. Or in the positive way. The Rebbe brings in letters about the power of the atom, that today we see that in a little kamos. Now, for anyone that learns Torah, said, always, Maisa echo, dibur echo, Maisa achas, Machriya kol elam kula, the kavskulis, maybe chul vatsala, as the Rambam paskins. But that's more of a munadika thing. Today is a scientific fact. So bottom line is, what human beings were unable to do over the years, how can you create these reactions to be able to talk and fit so much data into almost no space at all and be able to transcend time and space? So essentially, the concept of matter and energy being reversible, if you really think about it, is almost the same asis as saying that Ruchnis and Gashmis are now can join together. That there was a time where they could not, and now you could. So I remember when I shared this, one of the scientists said, that's great. And he gave me an idea. He said, the original E equals MC squared is not from Einstein. It's from Matan Teda, 3,336 years ago. Counting this from this year. And it's true. The concept, that's it. However, we never thought of it scientifically. We thought of it more in Avedas Hashem, in Ruchnius. But it's a very powerful way of understanding what we're talking about here. So simply put, you take, for example, a cup of water. I'm just giving a pashta mashal. This same cup of water, if you heat it, what will happen? It will turn into gas. You know, take a chaynik, a kettle, and heat water. The water turns into gas, into vapor. If you freeze the water, it turns into ice. So if I were to show you ice, water, fluid, liquid, and gas, and you wouldn't know that it's the process of heating or cooling, you'd think three different realities. What does gas have to do with liquid, and what does liquid have to do with a solid ice? But today we know that's not the case. You take a piece of wood, you put it into a fireplace, it turns into heat and energy and light. So the concepts of this are today common. It wasn't seen this way, by the way. If you read any books on science a few hundred years ago, it wasn't a given. It was always known that you can create energy from matter because they had fire and they had other things. But to the extent that we know today that everything has electricity in it and everything has energy and there's no such thing as inanimate. If there were no human beings in this room right now, it's not a dead room. You just don't have medaber. You have daimim, but we know from the Arizal that there's a nefesh ha-daimamas. It's just not moved. The daimim doesn't move, but it doesn't mean it doesn't have energy in it. And there's a nefesh ha-tzemachas, and nefesh ha-chai, nefesh ha-medaber. So the idea of Matan Torah was essentially that now we can access that nefesh and bring it into this gashmizdika world. Okay, that is somewhat an overview of Matan Torah, one main thing. But I want to focus on another thing, which I think is even more timely and relevant. I don't know if you know this, but when the Rebbe started Koch and Zich, in Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Neach, especially in the late Lamids, but primarily in the Mems, I would say Mem Aleph, Mem Beis, Mem already, Tov Shem Mem, Yutzva Tov Shem Mem, B'Shalach Tov Shem Mem, but it started accelerating. To the point, I remember this like today, the major Fabrengens of Shavuos, Simchas Torah, and Pesach, especially Shavuos, which were long Fabrengens that go into the Rebbe would start the Fabrengen before the Shkia, at the second day of Shavuos with Wash, Fabrengens that went for sometimes 5-6 hours, hours upon hours, starting around Mem Beis, maybe Mem Gimel, I think Mem Beis already, maybe even Mem Aleph. The Rebbe started talking about Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Neach. Recently, I may have mentioned this, I for some reason I had to put together, I collected all these sichas, not the pure hanochas of everything the Rebbe spoke about from around Lama Tess through Tov Shenun, I guess. 800 pages. 800 pages of pure Rebbe's words. That's a lot of pages. That's hours, that's books, svarim, just to show the extent. And the Rebbe went through every angle of Shem Mitzvah Bnei Ne'ach. There's one thing I want to share, which I think is critical, maybe that's why he spoke about Shavuos, that is less known. But famous Maamar Chazal, in Gemara in Aveidah Zarah, and the Midrashim, the different Nuschayas and the different Gersayas, that before Matan Torah, Hichzira HaKadosh Baruch Hu Esa Torah, some say L'chola Umes, but the Gemara, especially Bnei Esav and Bnei Yishmol, the Eibishter offered them the Torah. They looked into the Torah, it said Le'sitzach, Le'sinav, Le'signav, there's different, again, Gersayas, and they said, nah, it's not for us. Then the Eibishter went to Yidden, Nasa V'nishma, and that's the story. So the big Shturim Dikker question, everybody stops. What is going on here? First of all, the Eibishter didn't know they're not going to accept it, so why do you offer it to them? Second of all, what would have happened if they did accept it? What happens with the Eden? Bnei Esav say, we want it. And Bnei Yishmol say, we want it. And then ends up what? The Eden have been suffering now hundreds of years in Golis Mitzrayim. And the Eibishter promised Avraham Yitzchak everything. What's going on here? So there's many explanations given, but there's one primary one that the Rebbe brings is from the Tzemach Tzedek, based on a Zohar, that says that obviously the Eibishter knew exactly what he was doing. It wasn't he thought they'll consider it, and then they rejected it. That Adarabin, this was part of the process. And why Taka B'nai Esav B'nai Yishmol Dafka? Because B'nai Esav and B'nai Yishmol are both children of Avram and Yitzchak, respectively. They were also children of the Ovis. And Avram and Yitzchak, when they taught their children, they taught not just Yaakov and Yitzchak, Yitzchak and Yaakov, the Derech Hashem. Yishmol also learned by Avram. Lu Yich Yishmol afon of Avram Davins for him. And Esav was a twin with Yaakov. So the Eibishter knew the kavanah is that ultimately there has to be a birur not just of the Bnei Yaakov, but not just of the Bnei, the family of Yaakov and Yitzchak, but also of the Yishmol and Esav. So Matan Torah was a kavanah was not just for Yidden. Yes, it was bepeil given to Yidden, but it says in the Gemara Hashem Eiz La'ami Yidden. The whole world got quiet. They came running to Bilam. What's going on? And he said Hashem Eiz La'ami Yidden. Hashem Yivorach Asami B'Shalom. He's giving the Torah. In other words, the Torah was meant to transform the world. So the Eibishter, to prepare the ground, went to Bnei Yishmol and Bnei Esav, Bnei Esav, Bnei Yishmol, and offered it to them, knowing full well they're not ready yet. But the very offer that the Eibishter gave to them is preparing the ground, as he says there in the Maimer, is Esav Brocha, the Tzemach Tzedek explains it, that he gave them the Koyach for Oz Epech El Amim Sofa Brura, that one day the nations would be transformed. And they would embrace the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Ne'ach that were given by Matan Torah as the Rambam Paskins at the end of chapter 8 in Hilchos Melachim. That the mitzvah in Eden is not just for Eden, but also Lachuf to inspire the non-Jewish world. Why? What's the connection? Because Matan Torah was not just for Eden, it was for the whole world. The Eden are the Shluchim to bring it to the world. And Dafke that they should be Mekayim Sheva Mitzvahs because it was given by Matan Torah. Now let's fast forward, and I'll be bekitzer because I see time is running out here. Fast forward, around 1,300 years later, is the birth of what? Of Natsus, of Christianity. 700 years after that, 700 years after that, the birth of Islam. And using the words of the Rambam, what does he say? Very radical Rambam, but a very powerful one. It's cut out in some of the censors took it out. That's why we don't have a Nul Atfusim, but in Fus Remi, ironically, it's there. The Rebbe brings it very often. With all the Chassanis and all the critique he has of Christianity and Islam and the terms that Rambam uses there, he says, but Yidei, we don't know the Yideis, we don't know the secrets, the way, the mysteries of God's ways. The fact is the fact that they spread all over the world, talking about Christianity and Islam, is because liyashad es haderech for Mashiach, because they took even in Iyayam and even in far, the distant lands and distant places, they took a pagan world that was complete of Avodah Zarah. No matter what day you have about Nazis, whether Shituf is or not, but bottom line is, they introduce the principles from Matan Torah, basically. Liyashas Aderech, to believing in Mashiach, to believing in some of the Yesedis. We know Nazis and Islam are filled with so many things that were horrible to us, as we see even today. And yet the Rambam writes this. Because if you think about it, that's the history. Avraham and Yitzchak Yankov, when they were teaching their families, they wanted to teach the whole world. But it takes time. V'isnala le'iti, Yaakov says to Esav. But v'hoysel Hashem amlucha, ultimately, Esav will also be transformed. Oz epech al amim sofa brura, as the Rambam brings. Matan Torah prepares the ground, and throughout history, both with first with Christianity, which says 2.5 billion people today that are Christians, and Islam is 1.8 billion. I did some counting. That's a lot of people. We're around 14, 15 million, Ken Yirbu. They're not even comparable. So ultimately, Matan Torah's keach is meant to affect them as well. And this is what the Rebbe kept saying in all those fabrengas, those mems, that that's our Aveda. The time has come, because we live now in freedom. You know, Amol was not shaykh. There's too much sakana involved. You got to tell the Nazis, Shev Mitzvah Bnei Neach. I mean, but today, we're capable. So basically, what Matan Torah gave keach thousands of years ago is now coming to fruition. So it really is a lesson pushed in our lives today, that there's so much the fact that the Ummis, in many cases, I'm not saying there isn't anti-Semitism, I'm not saying we don't have challenges, but it's definitely a far cry from what it once was. Our grandparents and great-grandparents would not believe a world like ours, that we sit here and learn Torah, there's no Gzedis, no one's arresting us, and so on. So this is all part of the Birur. As I said, I would be Meirich more if we had more time, but Bekitzer, that it tells us the Aveda we have, Matan Torah's Aveda is still not finished. I mean, no, Matan Torah is the Edison, Mashiach is the Geula, is the Nesuyin. So the Matan Torah gives the Keach to refine ourselves, to refine the physical world, to refine the nations of the world. And essentially, nations like the Rebbe calls America Malchus Shel Chesed, Sheva Misim Zei Neach, is essentially bringing Matan Torah to every human being on this earth. So this is a short overview, by no means exhaustive and no means fully covering at all, but I hope I gave a little taste, the Chassidus should take on Matan Torah. Everyone should have Kabbalah Sateret B'Simcha B'Pnimius, and Afreilich Chedesh Sivan, Afreilich Tomid.